Oh my goodness, major upsets, big surprises, and some controversy. It must be March when lots of madness is in the air. We're talking, of course, about the National College Basketball Tournament, which kicked off yesterday. So let's bring in NPR's very own Prince of Sports Madness, Tom Goldman. He joins us from Sacramento. Tom, good to have you.
I thought it was King, Anthony. Actually, in Sacramento, it's the Kings.
Come on, Tom. Take the win. Take the win. Listen, let's start with the big upset. The 15th-seeded Princeton Tigers knocked out the number 2-seed Arizona. You were there. Tell us about that game.
A classic Princeton comeback win against a bigger, arguably more talented Arizona team. You know, Anthony, the late, great Princeton head coach Pete Carril would have loved this. He presided over many of these kind of scrappy discipline wins. One of the cool things about getting to sit courtside is you can see players' eyes. And I looked deeply into the Arizona players' eyes as Princeton mounted its comeback, ramped up its defense, took the lead late in the second half. And I saw hesitation, even a little fear, perhaps thinking about their high number 2 seed and what it would mean to lose to a 15 seed. As head coach Tommy Lloyd of Arizona said after, a lot of what happened to his team was self-inflicted. And I think it was because they stopped playing freely and, in fact, played not to lose. And when you do that, it's inviting bad things to happen.
Interesting. That must have just been a crushing defeat for Arizona. I know you heard from the coach you just mentioned there before the game. Did he indicate that his team was facing a real battle before the game?
Well, he said his team was playing an Ivy League school, so, quote, I'm sure they're going to be smarter than us. not sure about their comparative IQs, but Princeton, when it mattered, was more aggressive and better on the basketball court.
So another big upset on the men's side, a game that came down to the final second. Furman University, the number 13 seed, knocked out the number 4 seed, Virginia. Lots of drama right up to the end. Tell us about that.
Yeah, all hail Furman, a small liberal arts school out of South Carolina. A great win capped off by that thrilling last-second three-point shot to seal a victory. But, you know, Anthony, a lot of the focus is on Virginia because this kind of thing is becoming uncomfortably common. Look at their last four trips to the men's tournament. 2018, Virginia was the number 1 seed and lost historically to 16th seed University of Maryland, Baltimore County. Only time in tournament history a 16 seed beat a 1 seed in the first round. How does Virginia follow that up in 2019? They won the title. And then in 2021, Virginia lost in the first round as a 4th seed to a 13. And then yesterday, it happened again. So, you know, wild swings of fortune there, losing first round, but also winning a title. There's going to be a lot of introspection again in Virginia about why this stuff is happening.
Yeah, and this was a game that literally came down to the final second, right? I mean, it must have been absolutely thrilling.
It was. It was the madness of the day until Princeton, at least numerically, being a 15 over a 2, trumped Furman over Virginia.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have to ask you about Alabama, which brings us to the controversy. As expected, it knocked off Texas A&M in advance. But these are disturbing times for the Crimson Tide because of a fatal shooting in January that involved some of Alabama's players. And in fact, we just learned that a 4th player was allegedly at the shooting. How is all this playing out in the tournament?
It's a really tragic situation. You know, it has stained what should have been an unabashed celebration of an Alabama men's team having probably its greatest season ever. It's in line to win its first ever men's title. But as Alabama rolls on, and as you mentioned, they won their opener by 21 yesterday, there is all this attention on the two players still playing who were connected to the shooting death of Jamia Harris in January, as you said. The two players, including star forward Brandon Miller, haven't been charged with anything, even though Miller allegedly delivered the gun used in the fatal shooting. So the university decided it's okay to let them keep playing. Now, of course, Bama fans wouldn't have had such a great season without Brandon Miller. So a lot of critics say the decision to let him keep playing was about winning more than imposing any kind of discipline. And the anger has gotten so great that Miller showed up to the tournament this week with an armed security guard. Tragic situation, a challenging one for Alabama fans who really have to compartmentalize if they want to go to games and still cheer their beloved Crimson Tide.
Right. I want to talk before we leave about the women's tournament. Which teams are impressing you, and which teams are likely to dominate in this tournament?
Well, both impressing me and expected to dominate. It all starts with South Carolina, the defending champs, led by the reigning player of the year forward Aliyah Boston and a great head coach in Dawn Staley. They are undefeated, the behemoth of the women's tournament. The other number one seeds, a usual suspect in Stanford, which won the tournament a couple of years ago, and then some newcomers, Indiana, a great offensive team, and Virginia Tech. All right. Lots of great players to watch out there, but I would say keep an eye on Iowa junior guard Caitlin Clark. She's fantastic.
All right. That's NPR's Tom Goldman, sports correspondent covering March Madness. He joined us from Sacramento. Tom, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
You bet, Anthony.